Or, like, you looked, you know? You tried.
Puzzles and porn on tonight's Unfiltered Marriage.
Puzzles and porn.
I mean,
welcome, everybody.
We are here. It is Tuesday. He always starts like that without letting us know. Of course, we got the amazing Katie and Rocky here.
It's funny because we start super ugly, always like 5 minutes late, and we start Unfiltered Marriage like 5 minutes early.
That's because I'm a punctual bitch.
Like, you are punctual.
Well, and
you
because are. Like we're just sitting here, and I'm like, well, what the fuck? Why are we going to wait 5 minutes? Just go.
Might as well
just
get go. It on. Might as well get
like,
it on.
What the fuck? And but super ugly, we're always like, shit, let's go. We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, somebody's always late for your show. Yeah. I mean, Katie's just not a late person.
The show's just chaos. People
true.
Walk off.
Things that are like, Katie, be on time. Okay, okay.
She's like, I'm on my way.
Things that are
good.
Important. I get
good.
It.
Okay, you know, you said it, not me, but you
got
it.
Hey.
We could take it.
It's flattering.
You know, it's so funny because actually during the Tuesday mornings, I set myself and go, by this time I need to be done with dinner, cleaning, kids, because then I need a half an hour to prepare for the show. Like I kind of just plan it out awkwardly. He will come out the shower like, all right, I'm going down. Some people have their set in ways, you know, how they have to do it.
Well, when I was working, too, like, I would work all day, and, like, I would walk in the door like a fucking hurricane, because I'd be like, yeah, it's show, no, but, like, the pent-up energy of, like, time to do the show and, you know, that sort of thing. So I would come in here, and she'd be like, well, you just shut up.
It was, and it was a little, and most of the time, though, he'll start me and then go, shh, save it for the show. And I'm like, fuck!
Yeah.
Like, you just gave me this idea. I have ideas now.
Katie's gotten that before.
I have.
Because people don't understand, though. It's like, for one, you want that raw reaction. You don't want this now planned. That's why when people come on the show, they're like, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, I'm not telling you. And,
it's always a surprise. That's why I don't bother thinking of anything.
And most people take that well, because once I explain it and I go, I'm not telling you because I want your honest answer. I want your honest reaction. I want, you know, I don't want you to have time to think. If you have 3 hours to think, you know what I mean?
My day working, like, this is amazing.
Taking notes. Like if someone came in here with a piece of paper, I would literally rip it out of their hands and tear it up. Yeah. Yeah. No, that would be the worst thing ever.
But like, it's true. And normally, like, when the conversation starts, I would always be like, all right, don't say anything else. Wait till the show. But then I'm like, but let me tell you this. It's hard. And he'll just be like, shh, wait for the show.
I'm going to come in with blank index cards one night now.
And just hold it up.
Guys, it's fine. No,
look,
this is work-related.
You say that. So. I used to have it. But I'm the captain now. You know? So, like, I would have notes. When we first started, I didn't use my phone. Now
there's
I use my phone.
Bullet.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly ready. I'll read it. Man executed publicly, Yemen, rape, murder. Flat fitties.
They're jumping off points.
Flat fitties, backwards. Bud sex. Kathy Griffin shaves head. Just Keanu.
Ooh.
Oh, good, because he's magic.
Oh, my God. Keanu was so good.
Yeah. So there was just literally things like that. And
they're just jumping off points.
And you roll with it. I have a few just roll off things I wanted to talk about.
Matt Roll Off?
What'd you say?
Matt Roloff?
No, just Roloff.
No one knows who Matt Roloff is.
I feel like I should.
Remember that midget show, Big People, Little World, or whatever it was? They lived on the farm. They lived on the farm.
He left his wife and had all these kids and everything.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
His kid had midget kids too, right?
Oh.
I think he did.
I don't know. I know.
I think so.
I don't
remember. Regular sized kids got married.
Regular sized kids.
Well,
I can't.
I don't know how else to.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
But some of the kids were midgets, and then there was like one that wasn't.
Only one of the kids.
The rest of them were normal.
What's the little person, I don't know anymore.
So I'm just sticking with midget, you know. for like
over
100 years, midget was fine. I'm sticking with it.
They had one little child, and then the rest were normal sized, but they were both.
Yeah, and they had like a farm.
Yeah,
and they lived on a farm.
Yes.
Like he was always out there farming and shit. Yeah, building like castles for the kids.
Like again, like then having to like do have little houses and little sinks and little.
Oh yeah, it's completely custom.
Yeah,
like they had it
hold on.
Am I off again?
Completely unplugged because we unplugged.
I'm going to start taking this personally 2 weeks in a row.
At least I caught it much quicker this time. I caught it much quicker this
time. She's talking my bad.
You're talking to myself.
You can faintly hear her on Jess's mic.
I know nothing about this thing.
Dr. Earl's still here.
I love that.
You love his hair.
I do. His new haircut is very... I looked at it and went, wow, he's got the look. I can't... every time he cuts his hair, I'm like, I need this haircut.
I need to know what
he's got. The touch.
I'm gonna pull it up for you. Let's get something rolling though, because I really wanted to talk about, we have holidays coming up and shit is just fucking weird right now. What are we supposed to do with Halloween and trick-or-treating and our kids? Like, you know, we're on this whole pandemic, got to wear a mask, got to stay 6 feet apart. How are you supposed to go, hey, go ring that doorbell and get candy from anyone? Are we even allowed to trick-or-treat?
Throw back to the 80s with those masks that you had to wear. And which just call mask? It a day. Don't you remember those like full plastic masks that like.
But the mouths had a slit. The mouths always had a slit.
I love it.
Yeah, is that they Tina's?
Did. That, no, that was Earl's haircut.
They did. But at that point, I mean.
It's how is
can you this? Can you just throw a mask on your kid like we do when we go to the store?
But even when you have a mask on, how are you supposed to so, go get candy?
So this is how we're doing it at our house. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a bowl of candy because we always leave and we always go trick-or-treating with the girls. However, instead of having a bowl of just like candy, we're putting the candy in little baggies. So then they grab a bag and then the parents can Lysol it, whatever they want, and then they'll still get candy. That's kind of how we're doing it.
Mm. Wow, you're really just too nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not. We're not exactly the friendliest house in the block, but the man of the house, he makes it seem like we are.
But the rest of us don't talk to anybody.
My family goes out and trick-or-treats while I sit in my lovely basement with the lights off upstairs.
Pretending you're not home?
And watch movies.
So how do you not get egged every year?
Well, usually, people I think kind of know our house, but usually I'll go to my sister's development. She lives in like a gated community in Mount Sinai. So we won't even really trick or treat. It's called a safe treat. And we go to one of my nephew's friend's house. He has a little tiny party. And then we'll get treats and give treats. However, now I'm like, we're going to go into someone else's house and she's already wearing a mask. You know, she wants to be the fiend. So she's already wearing a mask. I'm going to make her wear a mask under the mask. And I just am uncomfortable thinking about what kind of Halloween this is actually going to be.
I mean, it's a crapshoot, and it sucks because it's on a Saturday, too. I've been looking forward to this.
This is like every kid's fantasy.
This is. I'm 33 years old. I've been looking forward
to this. It's like when Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve land on Monday, Tuesday, so you get those crazy two weekends in a row. You know, it's just, and Saturday Halloween, this is like it doesn't happen.
And apparently, you know, we can all just eat a dick. Like,
it just sucks. It's kind of
like, even for the grown-ups, like, there would have been a ton of parties and, you know, shit to do.
I'm 100%. I asked at work today if I could dress up on Friday.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They're like, but Halloween's on Saturday. I'm like, yeah, but it's casual Friday. So.
Yeah. So what would you wear?
I don't know. A girlfriend and I were trying to work together with this because last year we were both the devil and we happened to be sitting next to each other, so everyone was scared to come to our corner.
Oh my god, which was great. Yes.
Well, it kind of is hell being in the DMV.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No one does. Everyone just has nothing but nice things to say about the DMV. I think every 80s comic used the DMV as like the backbone of their material.
Listen, if you want to come prepared, it's not that bad. You want to show up with half your shit, not knowing what you're talking about, and be like, I don't understand. Well, did you read the form? No? Okay. Eat a bag of dicks and keep it moving. Yeah, but
it's your job to explain to me also.
No. I've jokingly said, I'm just going to start coming to these people's houses, knocking on the door. Excuse me, I understand you allegedly have a fully functioning brain, but you forgot to sign the goddamn form and give me money.
That's not social distancing.
Our 5-year-old has decided on a costume for Halloween. Our 5-year-old daughter.
And she's going to be
the fiend.
The fiend from WWE.
The fiend.
I love it already.
I'm a little bit nervous though because I'm bringing her to a birthday party with other 6-year-old kids.
A Halloween party or a birday party?
To the Halloween party. Oh, all
right. Who cares? She's gonna be dressed.
Birthday?
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. However, you know, again, she's a little girl. And not that I care, but I'm like, I'm bringing her to...
I think it's awesome.
Let her be the little badass that she is.
And last night I go, let her be what she wants. And Valentina's like, yeah, mommy, let me be what
this
I want.
This is like the one day a year where you could really just like let it.
I already ordered it.
I honestly thought you were going to say something from, what's the movie?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she wanted me to look for the plant, but every plant I found was not good for her.
Yeah. Dude, and then they came out with this thing for Christmas, right? You know how you have Elf on the Shelf?
Yes.
Well, now WWE.
Snoop on the Stoop, guys.
WWE came out with Fiend on the Scene.
Oh.
So let me show you this doll because it's a freaky little doll.
We're going to have it mess up her elf Tinkerbell.
Like rip its head off. And, yeah.
Yes.
Like,
oh, there's plans. There's plans.
I always made them do fucked up shit anyway.
I love it. You guys have to tell her about Black Peter then.
Who is Black Peter?
Krampus.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Krampus is going to come.
Oh.
Look how cute that thing is.
I love it.
So she had no idea this thing even exists. So the elf's going to be out the first night.
Now, does it come? Because, you know, Elf on the Shelf comes with like a book. Story. So there's a story. Does he
I don't know.
He's got a satch. That's it.
Okay.
If he has a story, great. Satch. If not, we can always make one
up. Right.
But so we're going to put out the elves normal. And she'll wake up the first morning and be like, oh, the elves are here. And then the next morning, mayhem.
He's gonna have her hanging like by a rope, like whatever we can figure out.
It's gonna be so good. Because she's gonna lose her shit. She's like, oh my god. She's gonna be like, fuck the other elves. She's not even gonna care about them. Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. Although, like again, I was thinking about bringing her to the party, and it is what it is. I'm gonna bring her the wherever she wants to be. This Halloween is definitely going to be an original, I think, for everyone with little kids. It kind of stinks, you know?
And you know what? For 2020, I think kids should be in more horror-themed costume than the cutesy, you know what I mean, normal.
And the fairy isn't really Halloween. You know,
I mean, Halloween can be whatever you want to be. You know, last year I was Satan, the year before I was Wednesday Addams. Like,
see, I feel like Halloween should have some contention of scaredness to it. Like there should be something scary about your costume.
Why though?
Because it's Halloween. That's the whole point of Halloween. Spooky, scary.
But why can't it just be fun and having a good time? I was Glenda the Good Witch when I was like 17.
A witch, though.
And I had a bomb ass costume my mother made for me.
It is still a witch. We just, for the first time, she just watched Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
Ugh, overrated.
Sorry. For her, I can't. At five, she really loved it. Yeah, she was digging it. And I like to introduce her to these, like, you know, we did Monster Squad, like these easier movies to get her accustomed to. She's so into creepy shit.
Mm-hmm. We watched that one.
She's so into creepy shit. I said, well, you know what? You got the boy you wanted, baby.
She'll ask me. She'll be like, when can I watch scary movies? I go, that's up to you.
No, it's not.
It is. To an extent of the scary movie, I mean. Like, I'm not going to show her fucking Last House on the Left, but if she wants to watch A Nightmare on Elm Street at 7.
That's the worst.
No, it's not.
A dream.
Dude, I was watching those at the same age, and
you have a mental block with scary shit.
I watched it at a young age.
You know, you guys are doing it the right way. You're easing her into it on the less scary stuff, and then eventually,
like Monster Squad. There are moments that are truly frightening in that movie when Dracula picks up Phoebe and does the.
Yeah, I would
like.
See,
there are moments in that movie that are very frightening for a kid.
Yeah.
I would rather do a Michael Myers. She knows who he is.
Michael Myers is easy too. Halloween's easy because there's not a lot of blood.
It's not, and she's seen kind of in the background.
And it's more suspense.
But
than
it's
anything.
Also that's a real guy. Like there's no monster. There's no story. There's no fantasy about Michael Myers. So that's why, like, I always
A psycho killer.
Yeah, I also go. Is it though? Because there's a much more better chance of Michael Myers showing up than Freddy Krueger.
Well, she's more desensitized because Lewis was Michael Myers for Halloween.
I know.
So she's seen it. She knows.
And it's on my arm. Talk about Freddy, constantly.
Dude, that would fucking ruin her sleep.
It depends on the kid.
I don't think it would. I think she's a trooper.
She likes it.
She's the type of kid to put her hand in fire and go, just wanted to see how it felt. like I know it's good. I know it's not going to be good. I
know it's going to hurt.
But just for myself, I need to know. And
how
that's
much
the,
is it going to hurt?
That's who she is. And she does that with scary things where we go, we'll watch something scary. And she goes, okay, I'll just look away.
Yeah.
But I catch her going.
That was like when we were watching, what was that, with Arthur? Art?
Oh, Terrifier.
So
yeah.
She kept coming in and she's like, I'm not looking. And I'm looking at her look. And I'm like,
yeah,
we're doing this. We're doing this.
She likes it. She's like me. She likes the thrill. Like, because I always equate horror movies to people who like roller coasters. You know,
like the thrill.
Yeah, it's a thrill thing. Like, this is my form of feeling frightened or scared, which now I don't ever anymore. The last movie that made me feel anything was Paranormal Activity. And that's what almost. 10 years ago.
At least.
And that movie, it did frighten the shit out of me, but I was over it. Like, I went to sleep and was like, oh, great movie. Can't wait to see it again. Blair Witch was the last movie to kind of stick with me for a day or two, where I was like
third grade for that.
Oh, no. I was 16. Blunt to the head, first night out. It was still real. The people were dead in the woods.
No.
There was no, like, this is the way they've sold that movie. So you're too young to remember.
This shit happened.
Yeah. There were faux documentaries, faux police things. Like, and the night the movie was out, people were still like, no, dude, we're going to see a real fucking thing.
Right.
And I was scared shitless.
Well, because of course you think it's real and this is like happening right now.
Movies, like, already I have a problem with going in the dark fucking woods, let alone hiking around with people that the cell phones have no service. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think of that and go, well, you're the idiot that went to the fucking woods. Like, the number two, I'm like, who goes looking for their sister in the woods? What are you doing?
Looking for a sister. You would go looking for your brothers.
Yeah. You know what? I might go with a fucking whatever I needed, you know, to protect myself. Like,
yeah, but how do you protect yourself against a witch?
You don't.
I don't.
You
know
what I'm saying? Like, she fucked with time. She fucked with space. She fucked with everything. Like, they're walking all day and they end up at the same spot.
And
like,
then it wasn't getting light, you know, out anymore.
They're hearing noises all around them constantly, and it's, you know, there's no explanation for it. You hear children laughing off in the distance. You know, like.
Brother was to do something like that and I had to go look for him, I don't know if it would be me going through the woods or if I would go up in a helicopter and look down.
They tried that with the drone, remember?
Yeah, a drone.
No, but they did it with the drone and she's like, I can't see. And all she saw was wood. No, yeah. All she saw was wood. She's like, I don't see nothing. And then when she went to turn, the drone got fucked up and went down. But, like, even with that, they had a drone and there was an answer. Like, oh, you have a drone. Go look and see where the fucking road is. And when she went up, it was just woods and woods and woods.
No.
Like, the new one,
I
went into it expecting more because of how much I love the original. And the first time I saw it, I was like, meh. We watched it the other night, a couple nights ago.
Against my
will. And I didn't hate it. Like, I was like, all right, this is, you know, this is pretty good. Because the way they do fuck with time, like, the sun never comes up at one point. They're like, dude, it's fucking
7 in the morning.
Yeah,
still
it's
dark.
Like, yeah, it's still dark. Like, how did we sleep to 2 in the afternoon? And at first, these hillbillies were fucking with them. And then they're like, dude, how can
we
fuck with
time? Yeah,
but how
are they making
the sun go down? Well, that's what, and the one kid shows up. He's like, how long have you been here? They've been like, this is our first night. He's like, we've been gone for 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Where's the sun?
Yeah.
It was definitely creepy. I'm not really into those kind of movies.
No calls tonight.
That actually could happen. Mm. I feel like Paranormal Activity. You could be possessed by an energy you allow into your life. Like, these are things I don't like to watch. And I don't know. He puts them on, and he's 31 days of October. My life is over. I live in this Blair Witch.
And I watch movies, horror movies, all year round. It's not like I need a reason.
It's not just for October.
But because it's October, and like,
whole thing.
But this has been since we've been together. Like, this isn't something that, like, I thought of, like, 5 years
not
in.
New.
It was like when we started dating, I was like, oh, it's October. And by the way, I watch a horror movie every single night, so deal with it. And she dealt with it. Now she's a little bit more pushed back. So I'll watch them when, you know, during the day, or I'll sneak one in.
You still get your horror movie in. It's just not necessarily.
Or me and Adam will come down here and watch something.
Well, because that's your spooky bitch.
Yeah. She's my horror. Hashtag horror homie.
Yeah.
Hashtag horror homie that tells me this morning, Mom, I need you to come down and do sage in my room. So now I come down and I'm into it. I sage all the time. I come down. I'm like, what am I saging for? She's like, well, I had this nightmare last night. I'm like, hello, woman who loves horror film. You're watching movies and then creating. And you know, she'll watch an alien show. I swear there was an alien in my door. I'm like, there's no alien at your door.
But maybe there was.
I have moments of, could this be real? And I go, don't watch it, because then I will have a dream and I will create a scenario. They landed in the backyard, you know, like, so for me, I don't watch it. I know I need to watch something nice before I go to sleep, you know.
I watch it and then I watch some Disney and I go to bed.
Guess what, game on because you're gonna be his new friend with it.
I'll go to bed to that.
Well, we've done this though. We've watched the movie, and then after something else,
palate cleanser.
That, you know.
And tell me, I don't have the best ones. Like, I brought out some heavy hitters.
To be fair, I did, like, run to my car. Yeah. And, like, I pulled up to my house.
No, but my palate cleansers were really good.
No,
like,
they were.
We had a few 100%. Really good ones.
But there was still, like, I would go home and I'd be like, I really want to go outside and have a cigarette. And I'm, like, peeking out my door.
Like, where is that fucking clown?
All right. And I'm looking out the window and I'm trying to look over. And then my cat's behind me going, meow. And I jump. And I'm like, oh, why am I such a pussy? Yeah. Like,
We all have those weird fears outside, though. Like when you get out of the car just late in general and you run to the door and you're like, get the key in, get the key in, get the key in. You
know, God someone's forbid, gonna kill me. I don't leave the light on. I just basically sit in my car and I'm like, Chris, I'm going to need you to turn on the light.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not doing
that there at the house, you know, that someone could
do. Like, I would go in the back when I used to smoke cigarettes at me, like, 3 a.m. and I would leave the light off because I don't want it shining on my neighbor's house.
Yeah.
And I'd be sitting in the chair and it's just pitch black. And I'd like just be like, this is definitely, I'd smoke a lot faster. Yeah, like this is very creepy just sitting here. It's just the unknown is creepy.
If my neighbor's dog starts to bark and it's late, I'm like, Rocky, somebody's outside.
Oh, just
the dog's barking, you know? Like,
just wait until you're sitting on the steps in the dark and all of a sudden a cat comes up and rubs up on you. And I scream like a bitch. No. And then I get a text from Wendy, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Prince of Darkness came and didn't make a noise today. So.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm going to swap it up really quick into something else that I brought up quickly on Super Ugly Show. And I had mentioned it briefly upstairs. Do you know how, like, animals, obviously dogs, I know that when they have cats, too, when they have sex with each other, they can get stuck.
I'm sorry. They what now?
They can get stuck. The dogs can get stuck inside the other dog, or the cats can get stuck because there's like something inside the females that grabs the penis. So I was thinking, of course, because I have this mind, what if there was like a girl and a guy who were having sex and they have their genitals pierced?
That was in a movie
years
ago.
I didn't know that.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, so God, this is going to kill me.
Wait, let me tell you this.
I'm listening. I'm just trying to think at the same time.
This is a scenario. The guy and the girl are having sex, and when he puts it in, that his ring, his Prince Albert, actually opens and, like, grabs the cervix or grabs something inside the girl that he can't get it out. Like, what if, like, what the fuck would someone do with having these piercings?
Sweetest thing.
Yes, there it is.
Have these piercings where you're having sex, and you're like, oh, this is great, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute, I can't get it out. Or like her clit ring grabs, you know, the scrotum or something. Like, what the fuck?
That's a sticky situation.
Mm-mm. How would you even begin to...
You call the fire department. Hi.
We're stuck.
There's a penis stuck inside of me. I mean, need help.
Maybe. Well,
like, what do you do?
That's what I'm thinking.
Wait for it to go soft and hope for the best? Like...
Even if it goes soft, the earring has still something.
Caught.
It's grabbed.
Yeah, the earring's caught.
Oh, that's gonna I mean, but require, maybe like
I mean, if you're in that world, you probably are smart enough to know don't do hoop bar while you're doing that. Yeah, you know what I mean. Sense.
What's a Prince Albert though? A bar?
That's through your
penis.
That's
through the whole dick.
So that's a bar.
That's a bar. Some guys hoop it.
Do they?
I would have to assume.
Now think about you.
That's a big fucking hoop.
Yeah, but think about the guy fucking piercing through his dick. Yeah,
you know. Get very big. But you think about, like, what if the ring, because sometimes they ring into each other and lock, but sometimes they just clip closed. What if the clip, because you're fucking, you know, like, I just don't, I was thinking about this. Why? I don't know.
Because but why not?
It popped in my head and I was like, oh my God, such an unfiltered marriage discussion.
That's why I get tattoos.
That's why I keep the piercings away from my vagina.
I've never had one piercing, not even my ears.
Face is fine. No,
never had a piercing. I never like
no.
Never, never interested me.
I had my belly, my nipples done. I loved my nipple pierce. I've had everything.
I think it looks good on chicks. For guys, I'm like, what are you a fucking like, don't get.
But I've
piercing.
Had that moment where the nipple ring has grabbed my fabric, and I was like, oh like it pulls, and I think to myself, like, what the fuck would make someone take their penis and go? Let's put this earring in
it's
here.
It's a sexual thing. Pulp Fiction, remember?
But even so, it's... No. I've heard horror stories about women that get their clits pierced and then they lose the sensation.
Yes.
Not willing to risk that.
Yeah, that's
insane. Never feel
But again. But if it doesn't, it goes the other way. Where like it's supposed to heighten it.
Yes.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I've heard, but I'm not rolling that dice.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's an iffy, you know.
I had my nipple pierced and it was great and I loved it. And when it got caught, I fucking loved that shit too. But I'm a sick bitch. I was
sick, but sometimes you're like a little bit of pain is okay. But I was like to myself going now, both people are pierced. You're fucked. Like
you're
pulling it out. Like God forbid it's dark. You don't see what you're doing.
Ooh.
It's attached.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I
think piercings in general are kind of silly, like at least for guys. Like I said, on chicks, it looks great. Guys, I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
that looks-wise might be cool, but then the after
it depends on the aesthetic you're looking for. I have a guy friend that he wants to get his nipples pierced, but he's like...
Why?
But no, this is his thing. He's like, what are people going to think? And I'm like, first of all, if you want to do it, just go ahead and fucking do it.
Right.
I was like, but if you're so worried, he's like, what about when I'm at the beach? They're going to think I'm gay. And I was like, first of all, if anyone thought you were gay, well, that's a whole different conversation. Yeah. But no, if you saw him,
pierce
you'd be
nipples,
like, there's
though,
no
like,
way.
Pierce nipples on a guy. Like, I always looked at that and go, but why?
I don't, you know what? It's
like, but why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Again,
but it's the same reason.
Robert did it just to be like outlaw. You know what I mean? Like,
that's anyone get a piercing? Why'd you get your nose pierced? Aesthetically?
I pierced everything because my dad told me no.
So everyone has a reason for it.
Honestly.
Like, why did you get your tattoos? Like,
right.
There's always.
I get
always,
that. I get it. I
you
get
know,
it.
Like, why do people. This drives me crazy.
But the thing about tattoos, that's oh, yeah. why I told I my can't. Daughter if she lives in this house and she does that, she'll be thrown out.
And, like, I get it. Yeah. It's your choice. It's what you want to do, and that's fine. But for me, it's not aesthetically pleasing.
No, it's
it
more
serves
show.
No purpose.
And it ruins your ears.
It ruins yeah. your ears. Yeah.
Now, you brought up tattoos. Tattoos, though, are art. There's something to look at, there's something there.
For some people.
No, but either way, there's still an image there.
Right.
It's not just. I poked a hole in myself.
Right.
The pain,
you know what I mean?
But there's still, there's, as much as there's an image for tattoos with the piercing, the earring's still there.
Right.
So yeah. It still serves a purpose visually.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like a tattoo does, except for you can take the piercing out. And
like, remember when guys, if you right. got it in the right ear, you were gay.
You were gay.
Yeah. Like, that was, you were gay.
You know what? I feel like.
And then the guy
started
doing the two and the one, and that was okay.
What does that even mean? I don't. Does it mean anything?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
No, it's just because you had an extra one here, it was now okay to put one in the right ear.
I don't know.
I think that's what it was.
Listen, people can pierce, tattoo, whatever. Yeah. Remember we talked about the scarification that day?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that was. Ooh. I showed Rocky that.
That's just weird.
Like,
I have a girl that did that. It just, oh. It looks great.
With it being permanent. All right, tattooing, awesome. I get it. It's permanent. When I started to tattoo myself, again, I brought myself mentally to a different place. With piercings, like, yes, it was a little bit of the pain that I liked when I got my chest pierced. When I took them out, it was because I was breastfeeding with Valentina, and I was like, I can't be having, you know, milk everywhere. But taking them out and not having them was also because who am I showing my tits really to? I'm married now. You know, back when I got them when I was younger, I might have been like, ah! You know, not giving a shit.
But that's, again, like,
more for show.
Whether it serves the purpose. For me, it wasn't
pulling
about
your titties
the show.
Out that often? Jesus.
No, but I mean, through tops. I mean,
my goodness.
But I mean,
I did show my boobs. Come on.
Yeah. The people are looking at my girls.
Nobody recently.
They weren't your girls then.
The past,
so.
Past 10 years, nobody but you.
Damn right.
But, you know,
but everyone does it for a different reason. I didn't do it for show, I did it for the pleasure I got from them.
She's a whore.
So I just.
Oh, no.
But it is what it is. Like, it wasn't for show. I wasn't, like, visually for that. It
well,
was for
a lot
the
of the piercings, you know, other than eyebrow, nose, lip, and ear,
that's all
are
visual.
For sexual enhancement, from what I gather. You know, like, people get their nipples, clits, dicks, you know, pierced. That's,
right.
you know, a sexual thing, obviously. Otherwise, why do it?
Right.
I mean, who the hell's looking at your fucking clit other than the person
no,
you're fucking?
That's true.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I just was thinking about it. You know, mute my thinking. I was like, let me talk about that on the show tonight.
Again. I know. It happens so rarely, too.
You know what, Rock? Ooh. You're gonna end up getting it. You know, he got me the other day about math, and I was
uh-oh.
Trying to add numbers, which I'm very bad at adding
just
in my head.
Just use the calculator. It's fine. That's what
oh,
I'm there
no,
for.
This was just crazy.
I was off by 10, like 10. He's like, Jessica, like, what? Yeah. What are you? Stop
it
adding! And I'm like,
crazy.
I'm trying to stop adding.
And it was like simple, like 20 plus 3. Tina was just throwing them out there, and she's like 7. And I'm like,
I did
what?
Not say 7. That wasn't
I'm like,
that
where
bad.
Did you go with
no,
that?
But
no, it was like 5 plus 10 plus 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And she came out with some crazy number, and I'm like, how did we get there?
Either way,
always use the calculator. It's
good.
Fine.
It's a good thing I pay that. I'm the one who handles the bills.
Yeah. Okay, all right, fuck you both.
She hands me money and goes, here's for this bill. And I go, okay, I'll take care
that's
of it.
That's what I got. Give him the money. He
it's
pays all the bills.
It's a good
yeah.
system.
So here's a catcher. Thinking about all this stuff, I roll into another subject here. Ex-friends, ex-boyfriends, ex-everybody. Let's just say, per se, you
uh-oh.
Are friends with somebody and then you're not friends with them anymore and they had dated someone 10 years ago but they're not dating them anymore and then you ran into them and then you decided to fuck. Like, could you, would you, and do you think it's bad?
If you're not friends anymore, game on. Even if you are, like, this whole ex thing, I've always been a strong proponent of, it didn't work out for you. Sucks, you know, but why should I now maybe ruin some. Like, if I did that with her, we wouldn't be together.
Right.
And look, it turned out to a marriage with a family. Right. And, you know, like,
and it was just meant to be. So there are so many variables with that, though. Like,
I think family is off limits. Other than family, yes. I think everything else is open season.
Well, it also depends on, did you have a previous relationship with that person as well? Was there anything nefarious going on then at the same time?
Right. Okay.
There's no Skype tonight, Earl.
Sorry, I'm just not. It's hard with three people to do.
And it was fucked up before anyway.
The reason I'm asking is because I was looking at a story that I had seen, and it was, you know, the cousins were not friends or hanging out anymore, and then they ended up hooking up with another person, and I was like, in my head, I go, there's millions of people out right. there. But sometimes you can run into somebody and have a connection, and it works out.
Right.
But in your head, do you think, like, oh, my God, I'm not doing the right thing, or is this a right to do?
I mean, if you're doing it to be petty, like, oh, I used to be really good friends with this girl and I know that's her ex, I'm going to fuck the shit out of him to get back at her.
Right.
And that's kind of fucked up.
Right.
But if you meet this person.
Is it though?
And they're, I mean, I'm a fucked up person.
Is it though? It depends on what that person did to you.
It does depend a little bit. However, I'm a petty bitch. But at the same time, you can't. If there's a connection with somebody, there's a connection with somebody.
See, no, I go for the throat. I go for people because I don't fuck around, and I want you to know that from the bat.
No, like, I want you to know.
And I'm the same way. Like, I don't like people who tiptoe. I don't like people that tiptoe around shit. And I'm like one of those persons that will say the worst thing I can say to be like, this is where we're going. You ready to come here to hell with me? Because I'm going
to
bring you there.
Well, no, but also like, to be fair,
you know it. And people have told you, I am a motherfucker.
But that's fine, because if you're going to push someone, especially me, to that breaking point, I will go for the jugular. Because if you're going to sit there and pussyfoot and do the innuendos and the side shit, no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you're going to be a pussy about it and not say it, okay, cool. So you don't want to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it.
Right.
And now fuck you, because I've lost all respect for you if you can't use your fucking words.
Right. I thought to myself, like, in my head, you know, I don't think that I've never been in a situation where it was like I would or did want to be with someone I knew was with someone or was like, it was never like that for me. But when I was like reading this, I was going like, first of all, there's so many people right. and it sounded like it was done on purpose.
Well, then that's different.
But I'm going, you know, if there was like an inkling then what were you guys doing when they were together? Was there an emotional thing there? Was there already energy there?
Well, necessarily. I mean, unless then that's like cheating now. Now you're bringing it to a whole different place.
Different.
Like, you brought up, you know,
could you be with someone?
Time has passed. Time has passed in your scenario, I'm assuming.
Like you say, factor in, did they know this person when they were together?
Right.
You know, was there a relationship then? Because then that's a whole different beast. But if it's like, let's say you meet someone. Oh, yeah. Long Island. It's the perfect example. It's the most incestuous dating pool ever. You can't meet anyone that doesn't know your sibling, your coworker, your friend. Right. Like, there's no.
See, I used to purposely date outside the box. I wouldn't date neighborhood girls because I didn't want everybody in my shit.
No.
So I'd purposely go outside where nobody knew anybody.
But there's always a connection. So what if you meet someone and then a few months in you find out, you knew this girl that I used to be friends with 10 years ago. Now you got to stop?
And now you have feelings. No, you're right. You're right. No, and in situations like that, you make a lot of sense.
I think if it's a vengeful intention if there's malice intent, then, yeah, there's maybe something wrong with it. But even then, not really. But
because you're not friends anymore anyway, so what difference does
love
it
is
make?
Love. Like, I shouldn't have to fucking... So what? You dated. Who gives a shit?
Right. It didn't work out for you.
You're not dating now. Like, she's now off limits to everybody because you date. Like, fuck all that.
Yeah, that's a lot of Long Island is...
Yeah,
that's
true.
The premise that we're going with.
I guess so. You're right. I just was thinking, though, more or less in my head, you know, if it was known out front. Like, you knew. Oh, I know you. You dated my friend back, you know. And
now,
then,
if there are children involved, that's whole
different thing.
Yeah, but, you know, we're talking single, dating pool, you know, mid-20s to 30s. We'll sit in that ballpark, I'm thinking, right?
30s get a little murky,
even like 20.
Just so you know.
Even 20.
30.
Yeah. But, like, you know, no. There's no rules to that shit. Like,
outside of high school, no.
Yeah.
But unless you're trying to be shitty and trying to hurt someone you used to be friends with. But then at the same time, you're not friends with them anymore. Yeah, how is she going to find out? How is she going to get
and
a
even
shit?
If she does, who right. cares? We're not friends anyway. Yeah. Fuck them.
I guess like, so. I mean, know, I'm asking for a friend. No, I'm just asking because, you know, when I read stories like this or I hear drama or I read drama, I'm just like, I wonder how I would think, like, in my head, I would never look and go, oh, you know, you were with that person. Game on. Like, I never would. I'm not that way.
See, but those are also, and we're not living the past people. Those are living the past people. I am living the now and the future. The past is, you know, that happened before you.
Right.
Didn't exist. Doesn't exist now.
Nope.
Right. You know, and I brought it up where that Chasing Amy scene where she's in the fucking parking lot with Ben Affleck and she's like, who gives a shit? That happened before you. Yeah, right. Like,
it
what the fuck does that have to do with us?
It doesn't like, matter.
Move right. the fuck up. Get it out of there. Yeah, it has nothing to do with us.
Plus to be clear, anyone ever that since wants then, to date my exes, by all means, go forth and be married.
But that stupid scene changed my whole outlook on how a relationship should be and the people that go, what's your number? Did you sleep
like,
with
what difference
what the
does
fuck
it make?
Do you want to know that right. for?
It's the worst fucking question. Do you really want to go down that road?
Yeah.
And no matter what you say, either way, it's going to hurt each other's feelings and you're both going
to
feel some type of way.
There's no
care.
Right number.
And the thing
there's
is,
no good thing
whoever
to
goes first, the second person,
adjusts
9 out of 10 times is lying. Exactly, because they're going, oh, they said 8. Well, now I got to be in that ballpark.
So
right.
I'm
going to
go
know,
with,
like
6 or 10.
And if you're at, like, 25,
no, I
you know,
it's
like...
I was told once you hit 30, the body count doesn't matter anymore. Is that not true?
I don't know about body count, but what I do know is that when Rocky and I started dating, because we went to high school together, we know a lot of our friends are mutual. We both looked and went, before 2012... nothing fucking matters. Right. Even if someone told him, oh, Jessica, back in 99,
so
who gives
what?
A fuck? Which we both had people in our ear, but we both made a decision before 2012, I don't fucking care.
Right.
So I was just thinking again, like when I looked at the story, I was like, well, first of all, both that are talking shit online, nobody's business, right. assholes looking for attention. But also, why the need to... go backwards, like, well, 10 years ago, you were with this person.
Yeah,
it's no, like,
those are people
know,
that are miserable.
Yeah, those are miserable people.
I looked back and
went,
what's
funny,
so
the same people
that
are sitting
that.
There trying to get in Miami, like, she's this, she's that, are the same people the second they turn my back are trying to fuck her.
Correct.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was a lot of white knighting also. Like, I fucking can sniff a white knight 3 miles away.
They
like,
can sniff them out.
I'm fucking incredible with
like
it,
a truffle
though.
Pig?
Like,
sniff it up.
Because there's so many different situations of white knighting that people think it's like this one thing, and I'm like, no, there is a gigantic scope that you have no idea of what white knighting actually is. And I would sit there and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know. Okay.
But it's like, what?
Because if you get her alone, you're not going to try to fuck her, right? Mm. That's what a pig and a horse she is. Yeah, all right, pal. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll figure out what kind of horse she is while I'm banging her because I love whores, okay? Thank you.
That means she knows what she's doing. I'm just saying. Like, you will never be displeased in this scenario.
So.
But anyone trying to stop anyone from either getting laid or, you know,
there's
trying to have
reason.
It, it's
yeah,
like,
always
what's
a
your fucking problem?
Like what
fuck
difference
off.
Does it make? How does it affect
you?
You fucked
you
that
care?
Guy 5 years ago. We don't even talk anymore.
Right.
Who gives
no.
a shit?
Truth of the matter. Absolutely.
What difference does it make what I did
it's a misery
when I was
love
20 years old? Like,
it's a misery loves company thing or it's a secret crush thing and I want to make sure I can do everything even though I'm never going to make a move.
Right.
And I'll never say anything.
That,
I just want to make sure that nobody
I can't.
Is with this person because I like them.
It's true.
And I don't want to do anything about it, but I'm going to keep them on the back burner.
Yes.
Like, I can't.
But the person thinking they're on the back burner doesn't have a chance. That's the thing.
Yeah, normally they
like,
never
some
do.
People are like, got this one on the back burner. It's like, bro, she doesn't even like you like that. Like, you're her pal that fucking, you know, like, picks her up when she's drunk from her boyfriend's house. Yeah. Like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. That's the friend zone elite.
Yes. And once you're in there, you never get out.
No.
I have another really quick thing to for us to finish up with. So, Rocky and I are big into comedy. And so last night, you know, he's like, hey, we're watching something with
the Comedy Store. They have this new series on Showtime where they're doing, it's a docuseries. Mm-hmm. So they're starting from the beginning of the Comedy Store and working their way through. And last night was a lot of the strike and then prior. And
yeah, it was really nice. It was actually, because you got to watch like how people started and Price was on there and
Pryor.
Robin Williams.
What the fuck is Price?
Sorry. And so there was a moment where they both were in a picture together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, they're both gone. You know, it's sad. And it brought me to this whole, you know, that a lot of comics who, like, are good either had a really fucked up childhood or were really depressed.
Oh, they all come from a fucked up place. They all do.
And you somewhere think about that and you're like, wow, they're really funny people. And they seem to, like, have that groove, but in the bottom, like, there is something that's rooting this.
Most comics, it's an acceptance thing because they weren't the popular guy or they weren't a liked person or they had a bad childhood. So it's an acceptance of, hey, if I know I can make you laugh, and laughing is a great feeling for you, mm-hmm. even though I'm dying inside.
Right.
If I can make you laugh, I feel accepted by you.
Right.
And it's this also a defense mechanism of, you know, instead of me... You know, before you say something about me, I'm gonna say it, or I'm gonna make you laugh before you even get there. So, right. Because again, you'll see the ugliest dude ever with a smoking hot chick, mm-hmm. and you sit with that guy for 5 minutes, and he's a funny motherfucker, and you go, I understand why she's with mm-hmm. you. Laughing, Carl, perfect example.
Oh boy,
Carl, not the best looking guy. Every chick wants this guy. Why?
Right.
Because he could make you laugh it's not like just, that.
For that, it's not just the humor, though. It's the confidence that comes from it.
Yes, yeah.
Well, whether it's real or not.
Right,
you have to with comedy. If you don't have confidence behind your own comedy, people could sense that immediately and go, you're not even sure about that joke. Why would I laugh about it? Like, fuck mm-hmm. out of here with your garbage.
It's that confidence. Like, you just can't.
But a lot of comics, you know, Greg Giraldo mm-hmm. died. Robin Williams, Freddie Prince fucking Senior. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of comics who are very damaged and fucked up, but listening to Opie and Anthony for years, you would have comics come in, and literally the one thing they all can agree on is that, yeah, I'm fucked up, and so there's something about them that they're
that
either
darkness.
Insecure about, or that something happened in their life, mm-hmm. or, you know, a lot of, like, Nikki Glaser, you know who she is? Mm-hmm. She was, like, an anorexic, bulimic, bullied fucking girl, shitted on her whole life, and her thing was, okay, well, I'm going to make them laugh and show them that I'm going to be somebody, and hers was, like, a revenge thing, but she went through hell, and still carries that with her, I'm sure.
That's not something that goes away, but it's also cathartic and therapeutic for them, too, because instead of letting it eat them alive... It's their outlet.
Right.
And it's an amazing outlet because you get instant feedback.
Correct.
But the problem is when you're off stage.
And then you don't.
Right.
And now I'm back to this person. Mm, and it's just me and this person because they're on the road a lot alone. You know, they're traveling a lot alone.
Yeah.
They typically live alone and they're writing constantly, or at least the good comics are.
It's like Artie Lang.
Yeah.
He's a fucking train wreck, but he is hilarious.
There's a lot of the comics, though, that I look at and I go, wow, that's so funny. So we last night, after we watched this one episode, I was like, you know what? Put on old Pryor when he'd stand up. Let's put it on. And I have to be honest, I did not.
Well, hold on. Before you even get there, what did I say?
It's not as funny as you thought it was back then.
Because people...
Was it Sunset Boulevard, though?
Yes.
That you guys watched?
No, it was live from the Sunset Strip.
Okay.
But people... And again, I said this just a little while ago on Super Ugly. People put Pryor on the top of the mountain, and he deserves to be there. I will never say he doesn't. I will never say he wasn't a fucking gigantic monster in comedy. Mm-hmm. But comedy... For one, it's subjective, and for two, as time passes on, especially with stand-up, because the way it's progressed, the way it's become so story-driven, if you're good, the way it's not just, here's the punchline, here's the setup. And Pryor started that. I'll give him credit for that. But listening to him now, what was edgy in 1980
isn't anymore. It's
like going back and listening to Lenny Bruce in 1980.
Right.
People wouldn't be like, Lenny Bruce is the funniest motherfucker. They would be like, it's kind of not funny at all.
Yeah.
And... She was like, let's put on Pryor stand-up. And I go, okay. I go, it's not.
It's going to be a different experience.
And there's very few people that hit. Like Eddie Murphy. Oh, I didn't grow up on Eddie Murphy. I saw Eddie Murphy for the first time when I was like 15 or 16. And it was already 10, 15 years old at that point. But crying.
Yes.
And still to this day. But still to this day. We watched it probably about a year ago now.
Yeah.
And again. Crying, laughing.
He was
and funny. I can say the bits word for word. Yeah. And still, But Pryor, there's something about him where I'm like, I get it and I can see it. Mm-hmm. I can recognize what he's doing.
Right.
I just don't think it's funny.
I need to go back and rewatch it because I loved Richard
Pryor.
Well,
you were almost invited last night.
There was the one bit.
When I was drunk doing puzzles.
Did you ever see the one bit where he's talking about when he worked at the it wasn't a strip club. It was like a cabaret club. And there was this one dancer there. She was like, they're not paying me. And it was the Italians that ran it.
Damn.
And he runs in and he's got like a starter pistol. And he goes, give her the money. And, da, 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 da. And he goes in there hard as a motherfucker. And all the Italians go, hey, Rich, stick him up, right, Rich? Get a load of this fucking guy.
Man.
And that part, because I can relate to the Italian part of it, I go, that's fucking hilarious. Literally the only time Pryor's ever made me laugh.
But it's also, like you said, you're used to story time comedy.
Yeah.
And that was his story time that wasn't a joke and a punchline.
Yeah. Like he does that Mudbone character. You remember that? Where he's this weird, really deep south, and you could barely understand him, and he'll do it for like 10 minutes.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it, honestly, because a lot of people say that about George Carlin, too.
Yeah.
Carlin's later ones, his last...
Oh, back in, what was it? You like Were All Diseased. 2003 or something.
Yeah, it was You Were All Diseased.
It was an HBO one.
It was the one that happened on 2001, right after 9/11. Yes. There was like three in a row.
Yes.
It was probably three out of his last four that were fucking phenomenal.
But
I go back
George
to
Carlin too,
and but I go back to listen to old Carlin, like the Seven Dirty Words. I'm like, this is fucking corny. But in 1970, whatever, I get
about,
it.
Like you said, comedy has progressed. And we're used to a certain,
and that's the thing. I can recognize it. Like Bill Hicks, I've tried to watch Bill Hicks a million times.
But Bill Hicks, so Dennis Bill Leary used to jack all of Bill Hicks' shit.
Well.
You know it's true.
Now his stand up wasn't that great either.
But Dennis Leary used to jack Bill Hicks.
Yeah, it was a
shit.
Known thing that Leary
because
stole his like.
Dennis Leary had a better delivery.
Right,
he did.
But he was like a crackhead almost.
I hated it.
But his delivery sucked. But his material was good.
But
which
even
is why
Hicks,
Dennis Leary became Dennis Leary.
Right.
I've tried to watch Hicks. I'm not kidding. Like it's got to be four or five times, and I'm like,
his delivery isn't good. It's not.
I don't. It's
not
for me.
But his material, when someone else does it, is amazing.
And and I listen to people talk about him, and I'm like, wow, this guy was like the greatest thing ever. And then I go to watch him
as a writer,
and I'm like, I just don't. It doesn't hit the way. But
then let someone else do it.
But here's the other thing too: is it because that whole, even like with music, with everything, it's from my time, so my shit's the best. Like that's what gets me. And like with comedy though, I go, well, no, that can't be true because people do new shit still in 2020, and I laugh my balls off and go, that's fucking funny. So funny's funny, I guess, no matter what. But there was something.
Sometimes. Sometimes it also changes and progresses. There's some shit that people used to laugh at 20, 30 years ago that people would be just appalled by.
There'd be
now.
Lines of people saying, I cannot believe you said that.
Right, and it's just
you offended
a nightmare.
Me.
Oh, well, that's why Richie was like, would Eddie Murphy still hold up? And I go, depends on who's watching it, because
exactly.
He liked to throw that FAG word around very loosely.
But you know what?
Comedy, though. I feel like it's just changed because so many people are offended when it's fucking comedy. Don't go to a comedy show.
That was like you guys showed me that night with Patrice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's talking about just because you didn't find it funny.
Right.
I mean, a million other people didn't think that shit was hilarious.
Right.
Oh, with the rape jokes. And he's like, how many rape jokes are funny? He's like, I know hundreds of them that are funny.
You're not going to find them funny, but I find them hilarious.
But, and most of the people that are on that side have no business judging what's funny ever anyway.
And they all just don't just
because
want something to be mad
they think
about
Abbott and Costello, who's on first, is funny. You know, like they'll sit there belly laughing, be like, hey, he thinks
what's
on second.
What's the show you saw watching today that was hysterical? Brett.
Oh, Bert Kreischer's Bert's Cabin.
Oh, I love him. His machine bit.
The machine is awesome, but Secret Time?
Oh,
Secret Time.
Did not notice me saying it at times? All right, guys,
Secret Time.
When he first introduced me to him, I legit, he goes, babe, you gotta watch this guy. He took his shirt off,
man.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He is so funny.
I watched him like
so
2 weeks ago.
Funny.
You know why, though, too? Because he'll laugh at himself on stage, which most comics won't do, and his laugh is infectious. Like when he was doing the pajamas bit, and he's like, oh, motherfucker, more pajamas! And he's laughing, he's like,
and
my dad was losing it!
Come on,
you
pajamas.
Feel that moment. It was super funny. I really enjoyed it. Actually, I'm glad that we started watching it.
Joe, see, I come from West Coast and East Coast. My West Coast people that I've learned from comedically where I go, okay, this is the realm I need to be in as far as what I like, what I think's funny, and who I'm going to watch. Rogan, Ari Shaffir, Joey Diaz, Segura, Kreischer, you know, those people. And then on the East Coast, the comedy seller people, your Jim Nortons, Rich Voss, Bob Kelly, Colin Quinn, you know, Patrice,
it's completely
Bill Burr,
too.
Like, oh, they're night and day.
I love Bill Burr.
Well, the store has, because Rogan is the middle guy. He's friends with everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So he'll go to the cellar and witness the thrashings that go on there.
Yeah.
And the beatings that go on there. Like, if you go in there, you know I might be the target for 3 hours of everybody just fucking trashing me. Where the store was never like that. It was like, we're nice out here. And but it started a little bit because Ari Shaffir, if you people don't know who Ari Shaffir is,
he's good.
Look up the Amazing Racist videos. Talk about the ballsiest comic of all time. You ever see the one where he's on the beach with the slave boat?
Oh my God.
And all the black people walking by is like, free boat rides to Africa.
Free chicken.
We got watermelon. We got basketballs on here.
He did like a 2 or 3 part series on like Netflix recently that was talking about how his
parents, the kids and the not kids.
And just constantly he'd be like, my friend got knocked up on a Tinder date. My friend got pregnant on a Tinder date and she kept the fucking baby.
Ari is
hilarious.
He's
so
one of my favorite
people
in general.
You just have to go into comedy and just shut off your, you know, defense mechanism. Like some people just go in there and go, "What did he say?"
But it's you do and you don't, because some people don't know how to do it and will just be like, "Here's something gross and something I shouldn't say," but it's not funny.
Right.
Then there's someone like Jim Norton or someone like Ari Shaffir who can do that. But make you laugh your balls off at the most horrific thing that shouldn't even been said out loud,
but
let alone we should be laughing about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I can't, I don't have that kind of delivery.
Some
shit
good
I
delivery,
say is
though.
Funny. However, I would never put myself in a scenario on a stage in front of people. I don't know.
That's what made me fall in love with the Opie and Anthony show, was you would listen to them and they would make fun of cancer, AIDS, you know, progeria kid. Nothing was off limits.
Right.
Like, we would joke about it. They would joke about anything, but it would be funny. Like, some people would listen to it and be like, this is so mean. And I'd be like, fine. You think it's mean.
And that's fine. It's not for you then.
But, you know, a lot of people are laughing right now. For one, because of, like I said, what they said, most people wouldn't even think, let alone say out loud.
Right.
Because it is mean-spirited.
Yeah.
But in the context of comedy, you have to understand they don't really wish someone with fucking cancer gets their wig knocked off with a bat. And, you know, like,
the scenario that
of
you
laugh.
But when you have geniuses now painting this picture in front of you and then Picasso's done and you go, that was fun, crying. I'm laughing so hard. And other people who maybe just walked in 2 seconds ago, you're fucking sick, and be like, okay, that's fine.
Maybe
but I'm laughing. So
but
whatever.
It's like you guys said, comedy is subjective. There's no. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are comedians we would disagree on.
Yeah.
And I'd see and be like, well, it's not for me.
The worst.
Oh, that doesn't make
them
fucking close.
But the worst. This is the worst thing happening to comedy, though, is the comedy of police, the people who go, I don't think it's funny, so it shouldn't even be done.
Right.
I will never sit there and go, that's not funny, no one should do it. I'll go, it's not funny, it's not for me.
And I'm just not going to watch it.
If you have a crowd in front of Jeff Dunham, I think he's the most unfunniest person in the planet. That guy's a multimillionaire and he sells out every fucking show.
I used to love him. And then, I don't know, the turning point, I started watching him and I'm like,
Yeah, because it's like puppets again. We get it, puppets.
You know,
what else do you have? That's the thing, and that's what comedy is. When you're one mic, one person standing up there, it's like, all right, you got me with that one. What else do you have?
Right.
Keep me going. By him pulling out a puppet every time, it's like, you got sick of this one? Here's this one that you like.
You're talking about like prop comedy then. Take Carrot Top.
Yeah.
He's been doing Vegas for 20 years,
and I think he's obnoxious as fuck, but you know what? Good for
him. He's probably richer than any comic out there.
Good for fucking him. Like, I can't stand prop comedy. It's not my shit.
But you know what? He's found that spot where he goes, people are in Vegas, and they go, let's go fucking see Carrot Top.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you see him, he's not bad.
Right.
He's really not. Like, Carrot Top isn't a bad comedian. He is pretty funny. It's just he's gotten that stigma of, you're the joke of comedy.
Right, yeah.
And that kind of sucks, but he's laughing at everybody counting his fucking
cash.
Of course,
which,
so,
you know what? Good for him. He's just, again, not for me, and that's fine.
Yeah, but the people that are like, it's not funny and no one should say it, like that woman with Patrice.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, fuck you. Then don't move
then don't
on
watch.
Then. Yeah.
Don't
I'm
watch.
Sure the shit that you think is funny, I think is stupid
but
as
that's
fuck.
That's just like porn, right. too. Like, not all porn is for everybody. Right. It's not your shit. Okay, cool. Don't watch it. Next video.
Like, I don't watch Moms.
Everyone has their own
We
references.
Keep seeing this commercial for the show Moms, right? With the Anna Faris and the other lady.
Yeah.
Remember we saw it when we were watching Goldbergs. They would always play it in between.
Okay. Her. Oh,
and I wouldn't sit there and go, that show shouldn't be on television.
Because I don't
yeah,
like it.
I don't think it's funny. It shouldn't be on television. Someone does, fuck them. Let them watch it. And those people that think, that's also a gauge for me. If someone comes up to me and goes, you ever watch Moms? I go, I know you have nothing interesting to say. You know what I mean? Like, I judge people on their comedic sensibility also.
Right.
Because it tells me the level of mind you have and the openness and the smartness you have. Because mm-hmm. if someone comes to me and goes, Louis C.K. isn't funny, I go, you're an idiot then.
Yeah, obviously.
You're just a stupid person and you don't understand what he's doing.
Well, it's different strokes for different folks.
Correct.
I'm not trying to kill it. I mean, it's 10-2, mm-hmm. but I definitely have to use the restroom. So,
well, no, we can wrap it up.
Yeah,
we started early.
I have a lot more stuff coming for next Tuesday, don't forget to tune in. I love that you guys are both here with me. You guys are one of the best co-hosts I've ever had. I love you both. And you want to take it away?
Yes. Go to russosbrand.com right now. Sign up. It's only $3.95 a month. You get over 14 brand new shows every single week from Vince, Ben Hameen, Stevie Richards, the franchise Shane Douglas, and so many franchise. Other characters. So go to russosbrand.com right now and sign up. OPRadio.com. Shout out to the Opster. We love Opie. He actually retweeted the show out before, so shout out to the big man. Go check out his latest podcast with Bubba the Love Sponge. He also talks... What was the last one he did, actually? There was the last one he did that I can't remember right off the bat. But the Bubba the Love Sponge one sticks in my head right now, so go listen to that one and listen to every single other podcast he has up there because we love Opie over at opieradio.com or wherever you get your podcast. StatementGames.com. Football, wrestling, UFC, prop bets. I'm sure he probably does soccer, too. You win cash prizes, gift cards, all sorts of other shit. We love StatementGames.com, so go to Statement Games, and you can win real prizes. It's absolutely free.
We love you all.
All right.
We'll
see you
next
guys
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Bye.